It's the Renaissance Festival Podcast.
A bard. Now, I'd call myself a traveling bard, and most people think, well, a bard, well, what is your instrument? What is your lute? What is your music? And well, nay, lad, now that's just some bards. Now, not all bards are that way. You see, most of us, well, we were historians. We were travelers. We were the ones that, well, taught the children. We were the ones that remembered the history. When a battle happened, we were the ones, well, we were the ones unfortunate enough to watch the battle from afar and then go down on the field, and we counted who we lost and when we lost them, and sometimes who we lost them to. Ari, bards are important folk. Now, there is an old term. It's called character assassination. Those were originated by a bard. For you see, bards traveled from town to town to village, and we passed news and we passed information. And well, if we were treated good in one town, well, the next two towns down the road knew who treated us good. Now, mind you, if you treated us bad in the town, the next four towns down the road knew how bad you treated us. And well, who said we didn't embellish a wee bit from here and there as well? And we essentially assassinated your character. You couldn't do business for four towns either way. So most good folk, well, they treated bards well. But what is a bard? Well, a bard is a traveling historian, a town crier, a newsperson, a gossip, and an entertainer. That is what a bard is.
Welcome to the Renaissance Festival Music Podcast. This is Season 16, Episode 24. This time around, we're going to be taking a look at some of the storytellers of the Renaissance Festival circuit, both in song and spoken word. Many of the songs that you hear on the circuit are telling a tale, new or old, true or fantasy. What you just heard was What is a Bard?, performed by Alexander Silver from the album The Gate Home and Other Tales. I wanted to open with that as just kind of an introduction to the show and to what the storytelling is all about. This show is sponsored by the Louisiana Renaissance Festival, the patrons of the podcast, the Ren Crews, and the podcast minions. We want to send a special thanks to the performers who submit music for the show. We currently have 703 albums from 307 performers in our podcast library. We'd love to have more. If you know any performers, or if you're a performer yourself, please get in touch with us if you haven't heard your song on the podcast lately. Coming up is another piece from Alexander Silver. This is The Tale of the Four-Paw Bandit, also from The Gate Home and Other Tales. And you can find out more about Alexander at www.alexthebard1.wixsite.com/traveling-bard.
The Four-Paw Bandit. So walking down the street one day, and this lad comes tearing out of an apartment, a rather, well, wealthy woman's apartment, and hot on his heels is a lady of the house, and she's yelling and screaming and calling for the constable, claiming that the lad had stole her jewelry. Now, the lad comes running up to me, and, well, I happen to know him. And, well, I also happen to know the lass, but, well, that's another story for another time. And she stops short, and she looks at me, she looks at the lad, and she goes, "Alec, hold him. He's stolen my jewelry." I look down at the lad, and I go, "Lad, did you?" And he shakes his head. He goes, no, I wouldn't do that. And I go, "M'lady, give me a evening, and I think I can prove this lad's innocence. And, well, if I cannot, I'll pay you for your jewelry. I'll even buy you new. So, lass, where was your jewelry?" And she smiles. She goes, "Well, it was under me bed." I go, "Well, then, lass, I need to spend a night in your bed, or at least in your room." Well, after that, I had to quickly duck the slap that was coming my way. I'd earned it, what can I say? But aye, she did agree to let me stay in her room. She slept in another room that night. And, well, I stayed there. I sat in a chair in the shadows. And it was well past midnight, and I was about to doze off, and I heard something soft hit the windowsill. And by the time I looked up, I heard something soft hit the carpets of the floor. And I look around the bed, and right underneath the bed, I see this little black tail go ducking under the bed. Now, what was that? As I quickly walk around the bed and look on the other side, there's this black cat pushing out the lady's jewelry box. Now, this cat takes a paw and clicks open just one claw, sticks it in the lock of the box, and jimmies it for a minute, and the lock pops open. And then from there, he lifts the lid, looks in the first tray, and doesn't see what it's after. So he lifts that tray off and digs in the second tray. Now there in the second tray, he finds one. It's a little green jewel. And he grabs the jewel up in his mouth, looks up at me, flicks the tail, jumps to the windowsill and out the window. "Oh, no, wait a minute. That was not a cheap jewel." So quickly I give chase up on the windowsill and promptly drop down a story, land on my feet, stagger for a minute and give chase to a cat. Now, good folk, if you've never chased a cat in the middle of the night, well, it's an experience. Took me through back alleys, up through gutters, around places. Did you know there was a garden in the backside of the brothel? I didn't until that night. Went running through their garden, went through, well, the midden fields that I didn't really want to run through, and finally to the edge of the village. And from there the cat let me, well, let me into another clearing. And as I quickly followed, I realized I'd stumbled upon a fairy glen. Oh, there are days I wish I would have never been able to see these things. But there it was, and the cat stopped in front of Queen Maeve herself and dropped the jewel at her feet. Now I look at Maeve, I look at the cat, and I sigh and I go turn away. And Maeve looks and she goes, Alec. Damn it. Now from there, I turn back around and Maeve smiles at me. And she goes, Oh, I see you found me messenger. Hope you didn't mind, but I needed this jewel. And she takes the jewel and places it on the cat's forehead. And very, very slowly the cat changes. Goes from four paws to four limbs. From a furry animal to a wee little fairy. And then from a wee little fairy grows a bit bigger and bigger. And finally, a fairy is sitting there. One of the cat fairies there. And I look at Maeve and I look at the cat fairy and I said, So Maeve, is this what this was about? She goes, Aye, the jewel was stolen. I go, Well, that jewel's fine. I can play for that one. What about the other ones that were stolen? I hold out my hand. Maeve giggles at me and puts the jewels in my hand and she says, Fine, fine. You can have those back as well. And with that, I staggered back out of the glen, hoping I got away clean and hoping the four-paw bandit wouldn't strike again.
Hi, this is Vince Conaway, hammered dulcimer player, telling you that the Louisiana Renaissance Festival is a highlight of talent from the festival circuit. Come see Paulo Garbanzo, Christoph the Insulter, Jacques the Whipper, Shakespeare Approves, Chased Treasure, and so much more. Plus, you know, me. Situated around a beautiful lake, the village is full of incredible vendors and has some of the best food on circuit, which is to be expected in southern Louisiana. I look forward to seeing you there in the fall.
Lilac was a small purple dragon who spent all his time in the wilderness with his friends. His special talent, as all dragons have special talents, was smelling flowers. Now, again, this sounds like a rather unuseful talent, but indeed he found many reasons to use it. For example, he could step into the forest, take a deep breath, and... Oh no, the wisteria's gotten ill! Or... Huzzah! The ivy remains healthy this year! Now, the earth fairies who tended the flowers most certainly appreciated his gift, but the other dragons sought to tease him for it. You're not a real dragon, some would say. You spend your days playing with flowers, others would tease. Never made Lilac feel very useful, nor very happy. So, one day, when he had quite enough of being bullied, he decided to take action. He decided to have a contest. Now, if you're the one arranging the contest, it makes sense to hold one which allows you to do something you're good at. For example, if I were to hold a contest, it would be storytelling, as that's what I pride myself on. Lilac decided that his contest would be flower-smelling petition. Naturally, he asked the fairies to help. He had them go out to the forest and select a special flower in secret to be kept under a blackened glass bell jar until the time would come for each competitor to try and guess what the flower was. He invited all of the dragons in the nearby lands, especially those who had picked on. And the day finally, all of the dragons lined up and Lilac took the last position since he was the host. First up was Dendron, great green forest dragon. He was probably Lilac's greatest competition as he spent his time in the forests. Dendron stepped up, took a deep breath, and pondered for a minute. He could tell it was a springtime flower, but he wasn't sure quite which one, and thus took a guess. It might be... Oh, 'tis a bunch of clover, he tried. The fairies smiled and shook their heads. Not quite. And so he went to the back of the line in case he got to try again. Next up was Sulphura. Quite long yellow dragon who lived in the swamps. He took his sniff and thought about what he could smell. Unfortunately for him, his nose was filled with the smell's name. Sulphur. Smells like rotten eggs. So he could only come up with one answer. 'Tis a rotten flower, he tried. The fairies giggled in a way which I can't quite replicate and said, Sorry, but no. And Sulphur followed Dendron to the back of the line. Following Sulphur was Bubble, a massive blue water dragon. She lived in the nearby lake and rarely came out from her home. As such, when she smelled the flowers under the bell jar, all she could smell was fish. She knew there was nae such a thing as fish flowers, and she assumed since the flowers had chorused, that would nae be kelp or lily, and so she thought long and hard. She knew that fish were a kind of meat, and so she thought about the plants that were carnivorous, which means they eat meat. So finally, she came up with a Venus flytrap, the most famous of the carnivorous plants. The fairies smiled and shook their heads. Not even close, they sang, taunting a little bit, and Bubble followed Sulphur and Dendro. Finally, before Lilac would peat, most massive winds was the largest in both wingspan and in height. Ash, the giant red dragon. He was a fire dragon and poor Lilac's biggest bully. But since he spent his days breathing fire, when he took a deep breath, all he could smell was the remnants of fire. Clearly, he bellowed without even taking a moment to think. 'Tis a burnt flower. The fairies started to giggle before Ash could even look, and they were cut short. No, a snail burnt flower, they taunted, barely able to hold back their laughter. And so Ash lumbered off to the end of the line. At last, it was Lilac's turn. The fairies had barely lifted the bell jar when he blushed from his horns down to the tip of his tail. Well, you didn't have to go and do that, he exclaimed, and the fairies started tittering, knowing he had caught on to their little joke. Ah, 'tis Lilacs, he cried happily, and was proven correct as if he lifted the jar all the way and allowed him the sight of the pretty purple. The fairies had actually fashioned the flowers into a crown and placed it upon Lilac's head to show that he had won. And from that day onward, none of the rest of the dragons teased him for his special talents. After all, 'tis boring if everyone has the same ones.
That was the story of Lilac the Dragon, performed by Bonnie Moffat, the traveler and storyteller, from her album, First Fabulae. Bonnie started doing festivals, working in a turkey leg booth in 2003, but after helping out in the children's realm at the Oklahoma Renaissance Festival in 2016, she found she had a knack for storytelling. Now she covers everything from Greek mythology and other traditional tales to historical stories about amazing women and pirates, as well as a few personal stories. Her album, First Fabulae, is still available through her Facebook page, and you can find that at facebook.com/blacklipsbonniemoffat. Moffat is M-O-F-F-A-T-T. And our next song coming up is Once Upon a Time, a story in song form, performed by C. Wayne Owens from the album Seymour Says.
Once upon a time, when the world was greener, Princess Trampolina, daughter of a king, rode around the land in her royal carriage, pretty as a princess ought to be. Suitors by the score sought her hand in marriage, none of them was quite her cup of tea. What a silly miss, said her father, this is turning royal purple on the throne. Sire, she replied, they're a bunch of sissies, and she went out every night alone. Very, very sad were her dad and mama, what a royal drama. Once upon a time. Everybody guessed by her strange demeanor, Princess Trampolina must have had a beau. Wonder who she meets all alone at nighttime, said the king, I've simply got to know. To his royal spies he declared, it's high time you discover where the lovers go. From this very night where she goes you follow. And they did and saw a merry sight. Trampolina there in a moonlit hollow with you'll never guess what in the night. They were so surprised that the knees went wonky, for it was a donkey. Once upon a time. When the king was told of her misdemeanor, really, Trampolina, he was heard to say, we have had enough of this hanky-panky. You will wed the prince we choose today. Trampolina wept in her royal hanky, stamped her royal foot and ran away. Till she came at last to an old hobgoblin, famous for his useful little hints. And he said, I think I can solve your problem, for your donkey really is a prince. There are witches three who have rearranged him, cast a spell and changed him. Once upon a time. You can break the spell, laugh the elf in stitches when you see the witches. Ring this magic bell. Trampolina sped to the royal stables, led her donkey to the witch's lair. Rang the magic bell and it turned the tables, for her donkey vanished in the air. And before her eyes stood a real Prince Charming, but he was the littlest of men. Trampolina cried, "This is too alarming. Can I have my donkey back again?" "Never," cried the witch, like an old hyena, laughed at Trampolina. Once upon a time. This is what we learned from our fairy story of the donkey and the royal lass. If you go in search of a greater glory, chances are you're gonna lose your ass. If you dream somewhere that the grass is greener, think of Trampolina. Once upon a time.
So your favorite Ren Faire's come and gone. No time to feel blue until it comes around again. This is what you do. Go ride your mouse-drawn chariot to find your favorite songs played by the minion leprechauns at renaissancefestivalmusic.com.
Once there was a fairy, she flew to and fro. Eyes of lavender and lilac and rose. Her smile made the flowers bloom, her voice the sunbeams shine. Her golden speckled wings, they fluttered free and fine. But her name was Princess Picklesauce, and everyone made fun. Her name was Princess Picklesauce, it could not be undone. And though she was the sweetest, kindest fairy of them all, they all made fun of Picklesauce, who cried inside alone. One day a hungry manticore meandered into town. Body of a lion and a human head that frowned. Its wicked tail he whipped and cracked, his black mane he then tossed. He came upon the fairy town and Princess Picklesauce. The fairies flew away, their lives all for to save. But Princess Picklesauce stood so gentle and so brave. She said,
"Hey, Mr. Manticore, I'm Princess Picklesauce. Why are you so angry? Why are you so cross?"
And he said, "My name is Piggly Puddlebutt, and everyone makes fun. My name is Piggly Puddlebutt, it cannot be undone. I'm lonely, tired, hungry, what have you, here I am. My name is Piggly Puddlebutt, and so I have no friends."
"But I will be your friend, Piggly Puddlebutt, you see. My name is Princess Picklesauce, they all make fun of me." And Princess Picklesauce and Piggly Puddlebutt were friends. And because she saved the fairy town, she was never teased again. Because she saved the fairy town, she was never teased again.
That was The Fairy Princess Picklesauce and the Hungry Manticore Monster, performed by Dan the Bard from the album Manticores and Owlbears, Songs About Dragons and the Dungeons in Which They Dwell. What can you say about Dan other than he is a bard, walking the land, singing songs, telling tales, and hopefully doing good deeds. He plays a variety of instruments, performs at Renaissance festivals as well as science fiction and fantasy conventions, and he is the music director at the Bristol Renaissance Fair. Taking a look over at the Life's a Fair page and our friends over there, we've seen that our friendly neighborhood Shakespeare, Shakespeare Approves, has been hosting some watch parties over there for his Shakespeare Reviews segments. Most recently, he did a review of Midsummer Night's Dream, the 1999 movie. They also have their Life's a Fair podcast coming out on a weekly basis. They have other streaming events and concerts going on there on a regular basis. They don't keep much of an upcoming schedule. You'd have to keep track on their Facebook page, so go and check them out at facebook.com/lifesafair. Up next is The Voyage, performed by Terry Griffith from the album Songs from the Pub. You can find out about Terry at facebook.com/terry.i.griffith.1.
I'm a sailor, you're my first mate. We signed on together, we coupled our fate. We hauled up the anchor, determined not to fail. For the heart's treasures, together we set sail. No maps to guide us, we steered our own course. We rode out the storms when the winds were gale force. We set out the doldrums with patience and hope. Moving together, we learned how to cope. Life is an ocean, love is a boat. In troubled waters, it keeps us afloat. When we started the voyage, there was just me and you. Now all around us, we have our own crew. Together we're in this relationship. We built it with care to last the whole trip. A true destination not marked on any chart. We're navigating for the shores of the heart. Life is an ocean, love is a boat. In troubled waters, it keeps us afloat. When we started the voyage, there was just me and you. Now all around us, we have our own crew. Life is an ocean, love is a boat. In troubled waters, it keeps us afloat. When we started the voyage, there was just me and you. Now all around us, we have our own crew.
If the weather's feeling icky and you want to get away, and you wonder how the water's feeling up and down the bay, if you need a good vacation, well, you know you just can't lose when you make your reservations for the Renaissance Cruise. Great entertainment, fabulous food, it's guaranteed to improve your mood. If you need a good vacation and you know you just can't lose when you make your reservations for the Renaissance Cruise, bumpidlyada, come play!
Visit www.therencruise.com for full details and to reserve.
Beep, beep, beep. Rib on Lord, 1506, we set sail from the cold bay of Cork. We were sailing away with a cargo of bricks for the grand city all down in York. And a lug and crab she was before and aft, and how the trade winds drove her. She had 23 masts, and she stood several blasts, and they called her the Irish Rover. So fare thee well, my pretty little girl, who we are bound away. Yes, fare thee well, my pretty little girl, who we are bound away. We had Barney Gay from the banks of the Lee. There was Hogan from County Tyrone. Well, there was Johnny McGurk, who was scared of work, and the chap from Westby named Malone. There was Clogger O'Toole, who was drunk as a rule, and fighting Bill Tracy from Dover, and a man McCann from the banks of the Van was the skipper of the Irish Rover. So fare thee well, my pretty little girl, we are bound away. Yes, fare thee well, my pretty little girl, we are bound away. We had 1 million bags of the best Sligo rags. We had 2 million barrels of foam. We had 3 million pails of old Nanny Goat's tails. We had 4 million barrels of stones. We had 5 million hogs and 6 million dogs and 7 million barrels of porter. We had 8 million sides of old blind horses' hides in the whole of the Irish Rover. So fare thee well, my pretty little girl, we are bound away. Yes, fare thee well, my pretty little girl, we are bound away. We had sailed 7 years when the measles broke out, and the ship lost its way in a fog, and the whole of crew was reduced down to 2. 'Twas myself and the captain's old dog. Well, the ship struck a rock, God, what a shock, we nearly tumbled over. We spun 9 times around, and that poor old dog was drowned. I'm the last of the Irish Rover, so fare thee well, my pretty little girl, who we are bound away. Yes, fare thee well, my pretty little girl, who we are bound away.
That was Irish Rover by Rambling Sailors from their album Ports of Call. This is Greg from the Renlist. With the recent resurgence of COVID, a few fairs have canceled their seasons this year. The Dickens on the Strand Festival in Galveston, Texas has canceled their 2020 event. The Orlando Renaissance Festival has also canceled and will be doing a virtual fair on their website instead. Meanwhile, the Texas Renaissance Festival in Todd, Mission, the Georgia Renaissance Festival in Fairburn, and the Suncoast Renaissance Festival in Sarasota, Florida all conclude their seasons the weekend of November 28th. The Louisiana Renaissance Festival in Hammond is still open and will continue through December 13th. For information on these fairs, plus updates on cancellations and more, go to therenlist.com. If you do choose to go to a fair, please be safe and take all necessary precautions. And for the safety of yourself and others, please follow the fair's rules and regulations. Up next is Harvest of the Moon by John Bodd from his album Cliché.
Wives, we were dancing for our lives, all to the tune of Elsie Marley. Instead of gathering up our differences and thrown them in the air and given them to the wind that shakes the barley. All the children, they were watching every girl and every boy as we danced to the tune of Elsie Marley. But they'd heard another tune from the harvest of the moon that rides upon the wind that shakes the barley. Then Bridget, she declared that she was not prepared to watch us dance to the tune of Elsie Marley. She said, I'll sing you all a song and you'll want to sing along if you listen to the wind that shakes the barley. And the song that she sang could be heard for miles around. The air was full of harmony, you should have heard the sound. As we gathered up our differences and we threw them in the air, gave them to the wind that shakes the barley. Dancing for our lives, all to the tune of Elsie Marley, until we gathered up our differences and we threw them in the air and gave them to the wind that shakes the barley. Then all of us declared that we were not prepared to dance our lives away with Elsie Marley. For we'd heard another tune from the harvest of the moon that rides upon the wind that shakes the barley. And the song that we sang could be heard for miles around. The air was full of harmony, you should have heard the sound. As we gathered up our differences and we threw them in the air and gave them to the wind that shakes the barley. We gave them to the wind that shakes the barley. Yes, we gave them to the wind that shakes the barley.
And now for a minute with Fugly.
Good evening, Lawrence.
Oh, good evening, Fugly.
Still sulking?
You might say that.
Well, why so now?
Well, with all the back and forth over Susan and Eleanor, now no one will marry me.
Talking about love and marriage?
Why, yes, we are.
Lawrence, meet Sir Donick. He has a tale to tell.
I married a widow whom I had loved for many years. After a couple of years, my father fell in love with my stepdaughter. So my father became my son-in-law, and I became my father's father-in-law.
Oh, dear.
That would make my daughter my mother, ergo, my wife is my grandmother.
The plot thickens.
There were more problems when I had a son.
I can imagine.
My son is now my father's brother, and therefore he is my uncle.
Oh my.
It turned worse when my father had a son. Now my father's son, who is my brother, is also my grandson. Unfortunately, I have become my own grandfather, and I am my own grandson.
Now I'm too confused to be sad.
I guess it's all relative.
This minute brought to you by your good friends at Povera.com.
Who here likes the circus?
I like the circus.
Me too. Well, we had a friend who had the most dangerous job at the circus.
He wasn't on the high wire.
He did not swing on the trapeze.
He didn't make the cotton candy. There's terrible cotton candy accidents every year.
Our friend was the lion tamer, and he was very good at his job. He made the lions jump through hoops on fire.
The hoops were on fire, not the lions.
He made the lions rear up on their hind legs.
And hind up on their rear legs.
And for the grand finale, he would take his own head and stick it inside a lion's mouth.
That's just foolish.
No, that's talent.
No, that's foolish.
You could be both talented and foolish.
Who do we know that's both talented and foolish?
It's Tuvia.
It's Hilma.
Well, my friend was good at his job, but the circus was not doing very well. They had to start selling things off. They had to sell the high wire.
They had to sell the trapeze.
The cotton candy machine.
They had to sell the guy who makes the cotton candy. You could sell anything on eBay.
My friend goes to the ringmaster. He says, what am I supposed to do? I have no lions.
No tigers.
No bears.
Oh, my.
The only thing left was a little basset hound named Sheba.
Sheba was a good basset hound, but not a lion.
My friend said he would see what he could do. He took Sheba away and he trained her up, and the big day came. And Sheba was incredible.
Sheba stole the show.
Sheba jumped through hoops on fire.
The hoops were on fire, not Sheba.
Sheba reared up on her hind legs.
She hined up on her tiny little basset hound rear legs.
And for the grand finale, of course my friend cannot stick his head inside a basset's mouth.
Far too small.
So instead he stuck his foot. The crowd went wild.
They were chanting, Basset, 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 which is not something you hear every day.
Well, my friend thought if 1 foot is good,
two feet are better.
And so inside the basset's mouth, he stuck his second foot. Bad idea.
Terrible mistake.
The poor little basset could not contain 2 feet within one mouth. She started to choke. She did the only thing she could do.
She chomped down on both his footses.
My friend was recovering later. He said he had learned a very valuable lesson.
Don't put all your legs in one basset.
That was The Circus Story, performed by Sidetracked from their album Extraordinary. Be sure to check out the Renaissance Stream Guide, where they keep a running calendar of upcoming podcasts, live streams, and other internet-based events featuring performers from the Renaissance Festival circuit. You can find everything from yoga lessons and relaxation to crafting, as well as performances. Head on over to their Facebook page at facebook.com/Renaissance Stream Guide. That will point you to the website that has the calendar on it. You can see what's coming up and what interests you. This next song is Sword from a Stone, performed by Fugly from the album Fugly, the Less Than Unauthorized Bootleg Edition. Fugly tells us he's very serious about not being too serious. You can find out more about him at www.povera.com. That's P-O-V-E-R-A.com.
Inside this castle, sequestered by Merlin, living with Sir Ector to be a squire for Sir Kay de Sauvage, Sir Kay de Sauvage, Sir Kay. Of here, gonna squire for Sir Kay at a local tournament. It'll be an exciting day if I ever get out of here. If we ever get out of here. Collided in a mighty crash as the tournament begun. But I left Kay's sword back at our camp, so I think I'd better run and pull a sword from a stone. A sword from a stone. And who'd have thought that sword was left here for me and me alone to pull that sword from a stone. Sword from a stone. Now they say whoever pulls this sword is born to be the king. But all I'm thinking about is what I'll get if I leave Sir Kay hanging. So I pulled that sword from a stone. A sword from a stone. Who'd have thought that sword was left here for me and me alone to pull that sword from a stone? Sword from
knights were jousting to the pageantry and the roaring of the crowds. But when I brought that sword back, they all kneeled to the ground. I pulled that sword from a stone, a sword from a stone. And Merlin said, you will all be led by this boy who will be king. And pulled that sword from a stone, sword from a stone.
A very special thanks to the friends of the podcast, Elizabeth Burkholder, Mari Voipio, and Stephen Conroy. Also, thank you to our honorary minions, Casey Herndon, Randall Kimbrough, and Jesse Linder. You can find Jesse Linder at facebook.com/jessielinder.bard. If you would like to help support our show, please consider becoming a patron of the show over at our Patreon page. There's a link to that in the show notes. Also, if you want to make a one-time donation, you can go to paypal.me/renfestpodcast, or just tell your friends about the podcast and why you like it. We're also looking for volunteers if you'd like to help out. Send us an email at renfestpodcast@gmail.com. Our entire podcast is a labor of love. We are all volunteers here, and we could not make this happen without our current patrons who are helping us to finance things like the website and storage for all the music. So thank you so much for all of your help. All that money goes directly back into the show and helps us to bring more music to you. And now on to the actual show.
The Philomela lost her love. Fresh notes she wore, will live yes again. Fa la 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 la. He is a fool that lovers prove and leaves to sing to live in pain. Fa la 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 fa la 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 fa la 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 fa la la la.
We looked it up, and here's the real story.
Philomela's father was the king, but he was marching off to war. So he sent her to live with her sister Procne, whose husband Tereus thus carefully might safeguard her virginity. But Tereus, he waxed with a terrible lust. He took Philomela to the woods, and there in a cabin unspeakable things he did to her, and he cut out her tongue so she would not tell what he'd done. Fa-la-la-la, 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 fa-la-la-la. Admired the stitching and loved the ply, yet still grew enraged thereby. Well, Procne had a son by Tereus, his name was Itys, a little lad. So she boiled him and served him all in a stew. It made a fine supper, Tereus, he said, except then she served him the head. Fa-la-la-la, 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 fa-la-la-la. Then Tereus, he chased them with an axe. Desperately they cried to the gods, who made Procne a swallow, and away she sailed. And as for poor Philomela, the gods, they made her a nightingale. Philomela met a hideous fate, and all they wrote was this pretty song. Fa la 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 la.
That was Though Philomela Lost Her Love, performed by the Story Wrens from the album The Sailor and the Mermaid. The Story Wrens are inspired by a love of history and storytelling through music with traditional instruments. You can find out more about them at www.storyrens.com. Over at Our Body Podcast, our most recent episode includes performances by The Court Revelers, Craig O'Farrington, Chased Treasure, The Crimson Pirates, Diane Lynn, and Clearly Guilty. You can check that show out for yourself at renbody.com. Now, I hope you've enjoyed this look at some of the tales that are told. There are, of course, many more out there. Please feel free to go over to our Facebook page. Let us know if there are any other story songs or storytellers that you'd like us to feature on the show. This last one is Kilkelly, Ireland, performed by Captain John Stout from his album Past, Present, and Future. Captain John Stout has been thrilling audiences from across the nation since around 2005. He's rooted in Irish folk and nautical music. He sings songs from Scotland, Wales, England, Germany, Italy, France, Spain, Australia, and the New World as well. Now, this song tells a story through a series of letters of an Irish immigrant to the New World. It's a little bit out of our period, but it's got a nice sound to it. It's got an engaging story. I've always found it kind of fascinating, in part because of my own ancestry. So, we'll leave you this one. Hope you enjoy it. And until next time, take care.
Kilkelly, Ireland, 1860. My dear and loving son John, good friend, the schoolmaster, part marked the morrows, so good to write these words down. My brothers have all gone to find work in England, the house is so empty and sad. The crop of potatoes is sorely infected, there to huffle them back. Your sister Bridget and Patrick O'Donnell are going to be married in June. Your mother says not to work on the railroad and be sure to come on home soon. Kilkelly, Ireland, 1870, my dear and loving son John. Hello to your missus and to your four children, they grow to be healthy and strong. My girl has got in a wee bit of trouble, I guess that he never will learn. Because of the dam, the sluice, no turf to speak of, and now we have nothing to burn. Richard is happy and named a child for her, you know she's got six of her own. You say you found work, but you don't say what kind. When will you be coming home? Kilkelly, Ireland, 1880, Jim, Michael and John, sons. I'm sorry to give you the very sad news, but your poor old mother passed on. We buried her down at the church in Kilkelly. Your brothers and Bridget were there. You don't have to worry, she died very quickly. Remember her in your prayers. And it's so good to hear that Michael's returning with money, he's sure to buy land. For for the crop has been poor and the people are selling at whatever price they can. Dear and loving son John, I guess that I must be close unto 80, 30 long years you've been gone, because all the morning that you sent to me, I'm still living out on my own. Michael has built himself a fine cottage, and Bridget's daughters have grown. And thank you for sending your family picture, a lovely young woman and man. And you say that you might even come for a visit, but joy to see you. My dear brother John, I'm sorry that I didn't write any sooner to tell you that father passed on. He was living with Bridget, says he was cheerful and held dear right down to the end. Should have seen him play with the grandchildren, Pat McNamara, your friend. We buried him down alongside of mother and at the Kilkenny churchyard. He was a strong and feisty old man, considering his life was so hard. And it's funny the way he kept talking about you, he called out for you in the end. Oh, why don't you think about coming to visit? We'd all love to see you again. Coming to visit, we'd all love to see you again.
The Renaissance Festival Podcast is brought to you by the fans and performers and the podcast minions. If you enjoy the music you heard, visit renaissancefestivalmusic.com and find out more about the artists who make the music happen. Show your support, buy their music, and tell your friends about the great music you found here. We will see you at the fair. Sláinte.
The fair is over. The sun begins to set. The cast gathers to feast among the clovers. Friends hug. Enemies hug too. another year for us to take animosity and shrug. The drums still linger. The story is set. Music overwhelms a sad ballad singer. It passed too quick. What happened to time when musicians would gather to play a few licks? Hold me a moment. Don't say a word. Let me inhale so I can smell the magic that's floating. Another year passes. I think I must have blinked. There's too much I missed and not enough lasses.